This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Rehab Up here in the Rob Has a Podcast feed. I am Maggie Morgan, and I am one of your hosts as I take you through this incredible second episode of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Season 2. With me is my amazing co-host, the fabulous, the incomparable, Jacob Jones. How are you today, Jacob?
I am Jacob Jones, and I am one of the co-hosts on the Rehab Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. That's how you retire. That's how you
I get so nervous. When I did the Temptation Island podcast with Kirsten, I would always make her do the intro because I would get so nervous to do it.
I like it though.
It's so formal.
You're getting into your theater bag more and more.
Yeah, I'm using all of that that vocal training that I learned, the Shakespeare vocal training.
So sexy, so hot. But yeah, I'm excited. It was we had a powerful episode to follow, the powerful episode in episode one, and we have some things to talk about. And so how did you like it?
I liked it. You know, it felt very much like an introduction episode. We had such a strong opening episode that this felt really like sort of the calm before the storm. And they were like really setting up sort of the dynamics that I think are really going to come into play with the, you know, next episode. It seemed like all the ladies are together for the first time this season. So I think that they're really just trying to set up where they're all going to be at when they come to the table for the first time.
Yeah, I love group events in Real Housewives. Like, it's nothing like a group event. Everyone's sitting around the kitchen table, people throwing mashed potatoes, you getting your greens, you throwing them, someone throwing a turkey leg, someone throwing wine or punch at someone. I love group events. So the more we get those in Real Housewives, the better. But yeah, we're on episode two, a spicy little one. And let's get into it.
Yeah. Okay. Can I just say one thing before we start that I just like really have noticed overall with all of these housewives? And I think that this is something that maybe you can speak on as like an avid housewives watcher. Why are the husbands so bad on camera? They're so bad on camera.
I mean, okay. So imagine you have a husband, right? And you want to do something and your husband's like, babe, I really don't want any parts of this. But it's in your contract that you have to show your family. And so they're just like, there's like, okay, because the husbands don't get paid anything for being on. It's only the wives. So it's honestly like, I'm just signing up to be a supportive husband in a sense. I really don't feel like being here. I'd rather go play golf or drink a couple of Bud Lights.
They like clearly have no stage presence, these husbands.
It's different too, because in the other franchises, you see the husbands have, and we are only in season two with Salt Lake City, but the husbands have more of a camaraderie with each other. Sometimes.
Hold on, a camaraderie? Really,
what the hell is the word when you.
Camaraderie.
That's a word. I hate you so much. Okay, camaraderie, is that it?
Camaraderie, yes.
How did you even catch that? I feel like I said that so like smooth, where you like you probably would just like.
Oh, I catch everything, Jacob. My friends, if you literally slip up with your talk, like the way that you're talking once, if you say one word wrong, they all start giggling, like all my friends. That's so,
Oh my gosh. Camaraderie. But, Wait, what is camaraderie? Yes. The guys have camaraderie together. And in Jersey and in Atlanta, sometimes and in Beverly Hills, they sometimes just do scenes with just the husbands and like a group scene with just them going out to the strip club or doing who knows what.
Oh my God.
But so that's like a little bit. They go to the strip club, the ones, and you know, the women are like, oh yeah, my husband getting, you know, he busting down. Yeah. You know what I mean? Sometimes they come back and then it's a fight, but other times it's all good. But wait, something else that we need to talk about before we get into it. And I'm sure you didn't do it. I'm sure you didn't do your homework of the taglines, Maggie.
No, I did do my homework.
Maggie, are you going to Twitter and looking?
I am not.
Wait, did you? What are you looking? Okay, what are you? Maggie's looking at her computer right now. And so last week, if you guys were watching, listening, I gave us the assignment to come up with Real Housewife taglines. And I told Maggie to have hers. I never reminded her because I never really thought about it until like I was about to come on here. And it kind of just slipped my mind.
Well, we just got a tweet from someone who gave, I feel like, the best tagline. Like, I couldn't come up with anything better. So, yes, I did go to Twitter to open up the tweet that we got from our amazing friend, Mimi Paragon, on Twitter, at CBS Dan. Who had an amazing tagline suggestion for me. Like, I couldn't have thought of anything better.
It was good. It was good.
And you did catch me. You did catch me looking at my computer. I caught you say camaraderie. You did catch me looking at my computer. So both called each other out on this podcast. So the tagline that they gave for me was, some people say I talk too much, but I say they don't listen enough.
Which is very good.
I love. But I actually would probably revise it and say, some people say I talk too much, but I say I don't talk enough.
Ah, that's hot. I like that extra bit of flavor. Okay, okay. Mine said, in the podcast of life, I'm always running at 2x speed. Very sexy, very sultry. So I really like that, Mimi. But also, I went and did my own little bit of homework and I created my own.
Which, oh my gosh, this what is
one,
it?
So it's not a foolproof one. I have to still edit it down. Is that lemon water or wine and water?
It's lemon water. It's lemon water.
Okay. But the podcast,
I put it in a fancy glass.
I know. The tagline that I came up with was, they say the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice, but take a bite out of me and see what I ooze.
Oh my God, hairspray.
Is that hairspray?
Yes. Well, no, I mean, it's like a saying.
Oh, the black of the berry, the sweeter. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lyric from the song Run and Tell That from Hairspray.
It's also an infamous saying.
Yeah, of course.
And yeah. And so, you know, and so see what I ooze. Bite me.
Oh my God. That is very sexy.
You know?
Jacob,
you know what I mean?
I mean, I'm
talking
really
to the sexiest
impressed.
Man in podcasting right now. You're talking to the sexiest man in podcasting. Come on now.
I am lucky that I get to talk to him every single week. Come on.
Oh my God. I'm making biting sounds at Maggie.
All right. Maybe
but let's get into it.
Okay, so this episode opens on very quick little vignettes of the women interacting with their kids. So we see Whitney asking her adorable son, oh my gosh, he's so stinking cute. She's asking her son if he can walk home from school today because he's just so busy.
Yeah,
he was like, Ma, what? Lisa is running around her house, nagging her kids.
Her house was in shambles. Her house was literally in shambles.
You know, I'm not going to judge a school morning, like trying to get her age boys out of the house. And then Mary going into her son's room and she's got this huge Coca-Cola fridge.
Literally. And so Mary's son, Robert Jr., Robert Sr. Jr. I don't know how they do it. Robert Jr., her son, was in bed. Like, I know when the cameras came in saying, hey, we have to film something, I know he was pissed, because I'm thinking, I'm like 18 years old, my mom coming in, basically this is work for her, and being like, yo, let me come in and film and let me go through your fridge. And I feel like he had the most 18-year-old fridge in his room. It was like water and milk. And she was like, do you eat? Because all you do is stay in here. And as an 18-year-old boy once in his life, I literally recollect that moment to the 10th degree, because at that age, I was just like, I don't feel like leaving my room. I want to stay. I got all my essentials necessary to survive. You know, I can get water. I got milk. I got some yogurt. What else do I need? And I got my bed.
I got my bed and my phone.
And, you know, and so I'm good. And so that was fun.
And he also, I feel like, much like the husbands in this episode, like, it's terrible on camera. The cameraman walk in and he's like smiling in his bed, like clearly so uncomfortable, but he's a little cutie. And she's being really funny. I love her hair in this episode. I think it's her natural hair, and it's dark. Yeah. It looks curly. So beautiful on her. Yeah. She looks gorgeous with it. Like, I love the color. I think that it really brings out her eyes, how beautiful her eyes are. I just thought she looked great. Like, seriously, I know that it was just up in like a little ponytail, but I thought she looked great.
Yeah, it was like a little, but it's kind of like yours a little bit. If you had a few straight like hanging thing right now, but Mary looked amazing. And then we get Jen and her fabulous house. I love the views of Jen's house, because the producers know what they are doing.
They are so shady, Jacob.
And even like this scene took place, again, we're going through like the women interacting with their families or people close to them. And Jen was having her assistants help her with certain things. And they were in her closet with all the shoes. And her nephew also just moved in. And he's from, I forgot where.
South Central.
Is that South Central Utah or South Central like California?
I have no idea. I'm going to assume California, because when do you ever hear anywhere
South
else?
South Central like, Utah,
to a South Central, but she only said South Central, and I made sure that I listened and asked my friends who I was watching with.
Yeah, and so that was very interesting. And her nephew is like, it was so funny the way she described her and her nephew's like relationship, because Jen, she's on this new path to rediscovery and being aware, and also they hinted at, you know, celebrating Ramadan in this season because they are Muslim. And her nephew, Dwayne, she said that the reason that, you know, he got to live there with her now and her family is because he called her one day, or sent a text message, and said, I need to get my family out of South Central. And she said, and I didn't respond. And I was like, that's a very Jen-like thing to do. But then
she goes to him for 2 months.
After he, like, that's a very heartfelt, like, I need to get my family out of South Central. Like, this is like, I got a hitman on my ass right now and they getting ready. You know what I mean? Like, this sounds like this man is in terror. Like, he needs
like a dire situation.
He waited 2 months. So like, if at this point, don't even respond. Like, Jay, you would have been better off not responding. Glad you did. You know, you helped out a family member, but it's just so funny that 2 months passed and, you know, you did that, but you're on your path of working on yourself and reflecting and different things like that. So.
And they're in the closet and there's all this stuff. And even Dwayne is like, why is there so much stuff? Like, you should donate some of this stuff. And she's like, I don't like when other people come in my closet because they always comment on how much I have. And of course, Stuart's there and like knowing what we know, it's just like, oh my gosh, you got this from stealing from old people. Allegedly. Not trying to get sued on this podcast, but oh my gosh, it is wild. It's so messy.
The producers, like, I bet they were like, when this happened, they're like, we have so much footage of her home and her clothes and her shoes. Like, literally, howling at the moon and thanking, you know, baby Jesus for all the goodness that is in the content. And so, Jen, they're literally piling it on too, because this is like a scene that, it's like an extra scene that they'll probably release on YouTube or something like that. But since everything's happening, they're like, oh, we're going to show all of the excess that this woman lives in. And I'm here for it. And after that, she gets into this very weird conversation where after her assistants leave the room, her closet, and after Dwayne leaves, her nephew, she then sits down on the couch, on a couch or a chair, and she FaceTimes Heather, who she hasn't spoke to for 2 months. And I believe since the reunion where they did not leave on good terms. And how awkward was this FaceTime?
It was so weird. And yes. Heather's face when she picks up, Heather's like, hello? Like, obviously, the only reason that this is happening is because they're filming a TV show together. Yeah. Like, after the reunion, Jen, like, reposted something about how Heather was racist. Mm-hmm. So, like, they are not on good terms at all.
And, also, you know, calling her, referencing her to be a manatee and Shrek.
Oh, that is so awful.
But she only had it up for 5 minutes. She only had it up for 5 minutes, though, she said. But it doesn't matter.
You my God. But like saying that another, like that your best friend, I just can't even imagine thinking those things that to say about your best friend. Like, it's just so, Jen is black of heart. Like, she really, that heart of hers needs some true, like, restructuring, because to feel like you're backed into a corner and then to lash out in that way and do such low blows with someone who is supposedly your best friend mm-hmm. is just awful. Like, I don't even, but Heather, of course, because for whatever reason, she's got a soft spot for Jen, agrees to sit down and talk with her.
But wait, I have a thing where if we haven't talked in 2 months, don't FaceTime me. And I know this was set up for the show. Like, exactly. Like, send me a, like, I wish they would have shown like a text, because sometimes they show text messages and they just show screenshots of the women communicating via text messages. I'm like, this did not have to be a FaceTime, because if I haven't spoke to your ass in 2 months, Maggie, don't FaceTime me out of the blue. Like, I don't even want a phone call. Send me a little email, a fax or a text, and I may respond. You know what I mean? But I wish it would have been a moment where, like, Jen sent a text message and then, like, Heather just never responded. Because in Housewives franchises, they do show text message histories and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like, this is a PSA. If you haven't spoke to someone in 2 months, please just don't. I mean, if y'all have left out on bad terms, please don't just randomly FaceTime that person. That's,
I mean, and that's the sort of thing that can like ruin that person's day, right? It's like you're in a fight with someone and you're out and you just get a FaceTime. It's like if you get a text from your ex that you haven't spoken to in months, like that can ruin your day, you know? Like, that's just not, but you know, then we get the great fight later in the episode. Yeah. So we'll get there. We'll get there. But, so then the next sequence is, we go to Meredith's house and she reveals.
I stan.
Oh, yes. Meredith, iconic. Like, yes. I feel like Meredith represents what I think of when I think of a Real Housewife. Just like money, class, elegance, not afraid, never gonna back down.
Yeah.
But also isn't like overly petty. Like, I just think that she is like such a class act, and her house is so gorgeous and her husband has come home and she reveals that he, you know, last season he wanted her to move to Ohio. He kept saying like, please move to Ohio with me. And she's like, thank God I didn't, because he just moved to Mississippi, you know? So he's all over the place. And so, but he is making like much more of an effort to come home and spend a lot of time with her.
Which was, it was super cute. And I feel like after the tumultuous time that they had on the show with their marriage, and if you didn't know this, in Housewives history, I think it's a statistics where I believe it's more than, honestly, it may be more than 60% of, or 50%, 50 or 60%, one of those two numbers, somewhere in between those, where housewife marriages don't last when they get on the show. Because a lot of like, it's just like a lot of strain can come onto a relationship when the cameras are on them. You know, and your husband may be cheating on you on the low, but then when he gets on the show, it comes out, you know, the women, you know, they're like, oh, you know, the dude was in my DMs. Or it could be just like a salacious bitch and say Jen never got on the show. And so much strain can happen to marriages on this show. But I'm super glad to see Meredith and what's her husband's name?
Seth.
I'm super happy to see them at least like having the hardships, but also working to like come into like something new. And so I really love that part. And they sat down because they were talking to Brooks on FaceTime. Which Brooks is so dope. But wait, their dog was laying on the kitchen table.
Jacob, I am not okay about it. I am so not okay about it. The dog being on the table is the thing. Because last episode, he was standing on the table.
He was standing on the table.
And this episode, he was laying on the table.
He was literally laying.
last episode, he had little booties on. So I was like, you know, maybe she like puts the little slippers on him when he gets in the house. So it's like little feet that have been tracking outside. No, his butthole was on the table.
On the table.
Jacob, his butthole.
Maggie, I was, and like the dog was relaxed. It wasn't like, like the dog wasn't like, oh, somebody about to move me in a little bit. No, he was like, no, this is my house. I pay bills. I've been working a hard day and I got to relax on this kitchen table. Sickening. It's like, really? And they like, they were eating at the countertop. They weren't even eating it. They were like, oh, nah, Sebastian, whatever the dog's name is asleep. We'll let him sleep on the kitchen table. We'll eat over here. I'm like, y'all nasty people.
Nasty. Get it together. Also, I don't want to be this type of person to be petty like this.
I'm nervous.
But when people don't like train their dogs, I'm like, what's going on here? Like, no dog should ever be on a table. Your dog should be trained to be off the table. Like, what's going on here?
I feel like that's a common, if your dog on a table, no. Or you swat their little nose, you know what I mean? Or something.
Or you pull them down, like always reinforce with treats. Like they don't belong on the table. You, every time you see it, immediately you get them off the table. But like this dog, that's where the dog hangs out. Like you might as well put a dog bed up there.
And Maggie, I'm perplexed because say they do this in you know, their private time when the cameras aren't there. But in my mind, I'm like, the cameras, y'all letting national people know that y'all nasty as hell and having dogs laying on y'all. Like, I'm thinking I'm bringing a roast beef over and I'm about to sit down on a kitchen table and eat. But no, I got doggy booty juice exactly on the table. And I'm like, oh, hell no. You know, so we need to. Meredith, you are classy. We see luxury. We see money. We need to hire Cesar Millan to come and get little Urkel or little Sebastian. I have a little fly over. Oh, I got it. It was a nap. Sorry, guys. I just swatted at my screen. It's not a good look, Meredith. Come on. Like you have
It's the one thing about her that I'm like, what's going on here? Yeah. Like that you don't have this together. But anyways, this is definitely a scene where I was like, these husbands are bad on camera because Meredith is like going on and on to Seth about how like Jen is still going after Brooks on socials, that she's liking tweets that say like, I want Jen to slap Brooks and call him a sissy bitch.
What? Like for Jen to think that's okay to like, and like Meredith was going on and on about this. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
I have a question for you, Jacob.
What's up?
So I'm sitting here with my friend Evan, who we are going to probably have as a guest at some point. My friend Evan loves Housewives, is ex-Mormon, like would have a ton to say about this season. So he will come on the pod at some point. Sure. But I was like, you can't talk about people's families. Like that feels so off limits for the Housewives. And Evan explained to me that like, there has never been in the seasons when there has been issues with other Housewives kids, the kids don't do confessionals. Mm-hmm. Like Brooks, he said that Brooks is at sort of at the level where he's like a friend of the Housewives. Mm-hmm. So like he is sort of fair game because he like stayed back from school to be on the first season. That's why he took his like break off of school so that he could be on this season. And so he feels like Brooks is fair game for Jen. I still don't think that, but I'm also not a Housewives watcher.
Yeah. So
usually, you know, I don't have years of experience.
Yeah, I've seen kids on, typically it's not like a common thing. Everybody kids don't get confessionals. If they're like a, if they play like a pivotal part in the storyline, we had in Jersey when Teresa went to jail, Gia, her oldest daughter, got many confessionals that season. We had Candy Burris in Atlanta, whose daughter has had confessionals that season. If they play a role into the drama that's being projected onto the series for that. I'm not with everyone. I mean, I don't like that Jen likes those tweets about Brooks because that is Meredith's son. I'm like, yo, like you and this woman are coworkers, like nonetheless. Mm-hmm. And so he made a statement. Y'all didn't like it. You're twice his age. I don't know how old you really are, Jen, but like you're a grown ass woman. And so I don't feel like you need to like tweets that say, oh, I wish you would slap Brooks and call him X, Y, and Z. Or just like
a sissy bitch.
A sissy bitch. Or just like just tweets like that. It's like, why? This is a kid, even though he's of age where he can still get drugged, it doesn't mean you have to be the one to drag him. Like social media is there. The audience people are watching are there. You obviously have people that agree with you to a certain extent calling him, you know, X, Y, and Z and telling you to slap him. And so you don't have to put in the extra effort to really, oh, I'm really going to show your ass, Meredith. So I'm going to like this shit. It's like, it doesn't have to happen. And so I feel like it's inappropriate. I don't, it's not like a, oh, this, you should not do this. I guess inappropriate is you should not do this. And so, yeah, Jen, you should not do this.
I agree with you. And I think that like my friend's point was just that like, it's not as like you're messing with somebody's kid as much as in other seasons when there's been like issues with kids, because Brooks has like been, you know, on the show in such a strong way. Yeah. But also like, I completely agree with you. Like, why are you punching down like this, Jen? It's completely ridiculous. But the thing about this sequence that I thought was so funny is Meredith is like getting heated. She's upset. And Seth is just like monotone, like, I think that there is a misunderstanding. And Meredith is like, misunderstanding?
Did you see what she liked? I'm showing you what she liked. And she had the quote of this episode where she said, a retweet is just as good as her saying it. And I was like, snaps to you, Meredith. Mm-hmm. So true. Because it shows up on your page regardless. Mm-hmm. You're basically echoing this point. But Seth, it really wasn't like hitting Seth like it was hitting Meredith. I was when watching that, I was kind of confused. I like, Seth, this isn't really that hard to get. Like, this is pretty self-explanatory, but I think Meredith's anger and frustration is very just. I think it's warranted. And Jen should watch out.
Well, I mean, we'll talk about that at tea time, but
yes.
So in the next part of the episode is really we're focusing on Mary.
Oh,
and we finally, finally, for the first time, we get to see what Mary's house looks like. Because notoriously, last season, Mary only really recorded in her house, in her closet. Like, we never saw the rest of her house. And now we sort of understand why that is. Because let me tell you, that taste level, Jacob, that taste
so,
level.
So, okay, Mary's house is very old matron like. Is very,
it's giving late 80s like it really is giving like late 80s, like was when it was built, and it was built very expensively in the late 80s, and never any updates except for like weird furniture pieces. Like, she's clearly never redone like redesigned a room. She's only like added new furniture that does not work. Like,
so you don't think it worked? I think it worked.
Can we talk about the multicolored chair and the roses on the dining table?
So she showed her dining table, and she had these massive chairs that she sat in, and they were all different colors. One was like a complete like rainbow. But I thought, I kind of vibed with it. It gave me very Willy Wonka.
Okay. It looks like JoJo Siwa's house.
We broke out here, really does.
But also, I do think that there is a world where she can make it work if everything else is clean. Like, she can have those huge multicolored chairs if her walls are crisp and clean. She has small pops of color, like in terms of paintings or things like that. But if you are going to have loud pieces like that, you can't have a gray tile floor. Like, it needs to be clean if you're going to do that. And I understand, like, I get where it's coming from, because Mary is fun and boisterous and loud. Like, in her confessional, she's wearing this houndstooth hat and these like 15 Chanel necklaces, you know, like, Mary is fun, but she just needs to hire a designer. She has the money. She should just hire a designer.
She should not do it herself.
And I don't have the skills to do it myself. If I ever had any ounce of money, I am hiring a designer to do my house for me, because I don't have the eye. But like, she has money. And she has real money.
Yeah.
So she should absolutely do that. And it was just so funny going around because it's clear that she just keeps adding stuff. Like she has those multicolored chairs and then she has all of these lamps that have like ladies as their stems. And then she has like bright, like forest green carpet.
And a tassel couch. The carpet, the forest green carpet. And she made the comment. She's like, my dog used to get confused. They used to pee on the carpet. It's green. And I thought that was the funny. Yeah, her taste level is not there. It's very outdated and it needs to be renovated. But can we talk about the contractor that she has that she was dragging for filth in her confessionals? Basically, her contractor.
She's perfect.
Mary gives what she's supposed to give. And she's 10 out of 10 what I'm looking for. But her contractor is her cousin. And Mary, Mary also, she likes to keep things in her marriage, she likes to keep things in the family, but she also likes to keep the people. She also likes to keep the people that she hires to like help her around the house and her family too. And at the reunion last season, they really got into the point of like how her grandma's sister's daughter that she has to come over her house to help clean. And she was like, well, I give them a place to stay and I pay their rent and they come and clean. You know, I was like, you know, but this contract that she has, her cousin, she basically was like, he ain't worth the damn. He always late. But when he does the job, he does the job. But it could take 6 years. It could take umpteen time.
Yes.
And I was like, Mary, you're not helping this man's business.
She calls him the worst contractor she's ever seen in her life.
Literally. Like the drag of that. And Mary has such conviction in her eyes and the way she says it. It's very like, Mary, I want you to give me more and more and more.
She's in the bathroom and she's talking. I mean, and look, I know I'm dragging her for her taste level, but she's saying the exact same thing in that episode. She's like, I don't know what I'm doing. She's talking about the chandelier that she has in her bathroom. And she's like, I must have bought that when I was on my period. This is giving like I was on my period and this is what I wanted, I guess. Like, what?
Mary gives.
She's perfect.
She's literally perfect. Even her conversation with the contractor. So after she was talking through the designs.
This is wild, Jacob.
Wild. So she then brings the contractor to the kitchen table. She was like, yo, Robert Jr., her son, not her husband. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like he's entering the age where he doesn't want to listen to me and I'm getting nervous. And I told him that like, yo, if you smell fishies, you know, if you're getting, I want him to date a beautiful woman. And if he smells fishies, to run. Basically fishies in the under region of a Huawei.
I died. What? Like she's saying she doesn't want her son to be with somebody who has a fishy hoo-ha? Like, come on, Mary. Come on. And you're saying this to your cousin about your poor son on national television. And also, but also the way that she was talking about him, one of my friends was like, she's talking about him like he's 14 years old. This is a grown man now. He's 18. Like, she's like, he's just in a phase where he doesn't want to listen to me. And like, yeah, absolutely. That sounds like a freshman, sophomore in high school. But like,
definitely,
he's 18. He's an adult. 18. He doesn't have to listen to her, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like this is going to be a storyline this season. I feel like the breakaway with her son, like they're setting us up for her to be like, you know, it's basically just been me and my son this whole time because my relationship with my husband has been so awful my son's whole life. So
Their relationship has their relationship been awful?
No, her relationship with her husband. I misspoke. Yeah. But like, she's like, it's basically been me and Robert Jr. And now he doesn't want anything to do with me. And now I'm so lonely. Like, I feel like that's where we're going with Mary. And I'm really interested to see it because I hope that she can find peace and happiness. I really do.
I hope she can too. And even when she was saying the fishy comments, in my mind, I was like, maybe Robert Jr. wants to go under the sea. You know what I mean? Like who? I was playing that joke for a long time,
Jacob, but I think that like what she means is that like the woman is unclean.
Unclean. No, I know that what she means. But if you like go under, you know, the little more under the sea.
Yes, I know, Jacob. That is a good joke.
Thank you. Eek! Eek, 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 like a dolphin. Eek, eek, eek.
All right. All right. I don't want to talk about I don't want to talk about Mary's son's possible girlfriend's vagina anymore. I would like to move on. Why are these women always talking about vaginas? Like, I feel like this is such a huge...
They like to talk about it. And even when they get insulting each other, they talk about, oh, that's why you have a flappy vagina. Like, leave people labias alone. I know.
Okay. The other franchises,
they really get into that bag. They really get into that bag. And that's like a form of body shaming. But yeah.
It is.
People just like on these shows, they say like to insult, oh, that's why boob 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 so wide and stuff like that. And I'm just like, yo, you got broken down. I'm just like, oh,
but that's
my
how
gosh.
You know, though, that the person is not witty. Like, that's how you know that, like, they aren't funny. Like, they don't have like a strong wit, because like, that's just like the most basic. You can say that about anybody.
Yeah.
You know, like, that has nothing to do with the person or the argument at hand. Honestly. That's just like when somebody feels backed into a corner and they have nothing else to say. Like, of course, you're going to go for the low blow, like commenting on somebody's weight or their private area. Yeah. Like, that's just like so like funny and unintelligent to me.
TBH.
Like, I want the insults that are like giving, you know, if you're going to read, give me a good read. I don't want, you know, something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't just say, oh, your hoo-ha smells, but yes.
So the next sequence, is Lisa, Jenny, and Jen. Lisa and Jenny drive over to Jen's house just so that Jen and Jenny can meet, because Jenny is the new housewife. And I think Lisa wants to bring her around, you know, more to get integrated with the other women. So they're apparently like going to, because of course, when you go over to somebody's house, like, you need something to do, I think, just for the show.
Yeah.
And like, Lisa says that she wants to sew matching pants with Jen and bring them to lunch. Wear them.
Lisa's bored. You can tell Lisa's bored. You can tell Lisa's definitely bored. That's not an activity you bring over someone's house to do. Where's the days that people bring over a card deck? Where are the days that people bring over some cigars or a bottle of wine? Let's drink.
Yes.
Or, you know, nail polish. Let's do our nails.
Or Jen like had all of this gorgeous spread. Why are you just like, okay, great, yeah, we'll have charcuterie and hang and chat. Like, why do we have to sew matching pants to wear? What are we, eight? Yeah, I also called my cousin before we went anywhere and tried to dress the same as them. Like, I don't...
Lisa's bored, and she's clinging on her friendships because she disposed of her friendship with Meredith after last season, because Meredith wasn't that it girl, and Jen, quote-unquote, supposedly was. But now she's going to have a rude awakening if she really switched up completely on Meredith by the end of the season, because Meredith is loved. But we digress. But yeah, this whole interaction... I like Jenny, though. Jenny is very, very authentic and just fun. She cracks a lot of jokes. And I like her family. But yes, something to point out before they even arrived at the house, Jen was on the phone with, she was on the phone with someone, her secretary were there, but she was talking about a CBD deal that they're like, her company is like partaking in. And I was like, not the business deals. We don't need to hear more of the business deals.
Do you think there was even anybody on the other end of that phone?
No, I really wonder. But she was like, talking about her CBD deal. I was like, ugh, Jen, let's go. But yeah, and so it was a cute time, and we definitely dove into Lisa is kind of like wasting no time into getting into some things, into telling Jen how Meredith feels about what Jen has been saying and what Jen has been liking on social media.
Mm-hmm. And Jen says, like, well, I'm sorry. I liked stuff that I thought was funny, and Brooke shouldn't have said anything about my vagina. it's just spiraled out of control.
Yeah,
but Jen
like
should recognize she's the
adult.
Yeah, but Jen needs to recognize she's the adult in the situation. Like, yes, Brooks is 20 years old, but like, she is the adult. Like, leave it alone. And I loved it how Jenny was just sort of sitting there like, what is going on? Like, Jenny was like, okay, like, this is bizarre. And also, Jenny in her confessional was talking about how she used to be a wedding singer, which I just thought was really funny. But yeah, Jen was just like, you know, Brooke shouldn't have said anything about me. So of course, I'm going to like stuff that's funny that pertains to the show, and just sort of leaves it at that.
I give Lisa a lot of shit, but I was actually very proud of her. And I'm giving her a smile. I'm not even giving her a full handcuff. I'm just giving her a snap because Jana was looking for affirmations for the way that she was acting in this conversation. And I'm so happy that Lisa nor Jenny gave her those affirmations because I saw her and heard her at multiple times being like, well, he was making derogatory comments about my vagina. So I feel like it's like I could do that. Right. And like they said nothing. And like Lisa combated that with, well, you know, this is how she feels. This is how Meredith feels like coming at her. So I really want to give Lisa a little bit of credit with that.
Absolutely. And then, of course, then because Jen realized that they weren't on her side, she starts crying and she's like, I have apologized. Yes. I've apologized a million times, which it is true. She has apologized a bunch to Meredith. But if you're going to apologize, then stop the behavior.
Yes.
You can't apologize and then continue the behavior. That means that you are not apologizing.
Yeah.
Like that negates the apology. Like, you know, my therapist told me that like anger is not a negative emotion. Anger is a warning to someone that they can't treat you that way. So Meredith got angry with Jen.
Yeah.
Jen apologized, but then apparently didn't take it as a warning and was just like, well, I apologize so I can do what I want.
Yeah.
And then she continued on with this narrative. Like, if you really don't want to have to apologize anymore, Jen, don't do stuff you have to apologize for.
Period.
Quit it.
Period.
Like, at the end of the day, that's what I have to say.
And this is one of the many times that Jen like tried to put herself in a victim like mentality.
Yes.
And it like, it really is like, cause she's done this. It's another scene that she like goes into this like crying emotional part. But like, I just see that as I'm not getting my way. So I'm going to kind of contort it so you can feel for me more by evoking some emotions from my face. And just so you can see like the pain that I'm going through. And so I was just like, Jen, like this is like manipulative. This is really manipulative. But it's so hard for you to accept responsibility and accept the wrongdoing that, oh, I don't want to sit in this anymore. I'm just going to cry to make it seem like I'm hurting too. And you're not listening. Go, I'm hurting too. Me too. Me too. Jen, your actions does not validate the response or the reaction that you gave everyone from season one, how you have been liking tweets about Brooks. Like it just doesn't add up.
They're mad at her because of things she's done. They're not mad at her because of perceived slights. They're mad at her because of hard information, hard truths that she has done. Yeah. And she's like, well, I don't know why I am always the one who has to apologize. Because Jen, you're the one doing it. Like,
period.
She just is a very toxic person.
Yeah. And we're learning that. And the funny thing is, season one, I didn't mind her as much. Like, I thought, like, Jen, like, you're doing too much. But, like, I wasn't like, yo, you're really, like, trying to be out here manipulating these girls. And then just have this victim-like mentality. But, like, now I'm really seeing it for, like, the true colors that it is. Mary was right the entire time.
And period.
And then we get into a conversation. Speaking of Jen, we get into a conversation with Whitney and Heather meeting for shopping. And
they're so cute.
No, I really like them. Have you ever went shopping and like they offered you like some like mimosas or just some alcoholic beverage?
That's only if you go to like a store that sells things that are like thousands of dollars.
Oh, really?
Because money that you're losing from, you know, a $20 bottle of wine is worth it if the person walks out with a $5,000 bag, you know?
Yeah. Okay. True. And like, I guess like wedding shopping and whatever like that. Mm-hmm. But I really, first of all, I just want to say, I love the dynamic that Whitney and Heather have. Whitney and Heather, bad weather, spin the truth, tornado. I always think of that anytime I think of it. Lisa was on one that day. But then they dive into the conversation of the FaceTime that Heather and Jen had. And she was basically explaining to Whitney that like Jen called me and we're meeting, you know, tomorrow. And Heather's reaction to this was, girl, are you serious right now? Like Whitney's reaction to the Heather and Jen kind of rekindling was, girl, you need to like, what the hell are you doing? And then Whitney was like, are you scared about me getting close to Jen? And Whitney's reaction was, well, yes, because she's already done you dirty twice. And I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think Heather's a racist. I don't think Heather has been a bad person to Jen. If you call me Shrek and if you compare me to a manatee, you will be lucky if I say hi or bye to your ass. Because I'm thinking of, where's the nearest bottle of Chardonnay to? You know what I mean? Like, you calling me Shrek and you calling me a manatee and you calling me racist?
Honey
Oh, if you call me Honey Boo Boo, oh, I'm coming to your house, child. Hide your kids, hide your wife. I am on the loose. I'm just
How can you ever trust someone again who would say something like that about you? Yeah. It's just so nasty. It really is. And, you know, Whitney says in her confessional, she's like, you know how when you're young and your mom tells you not to touch her hot curling iron, so the first thing you do is try and grab the curling iron? Yeah. Like, that's how I feel like Heather is. She just can't help it. But I just think that there's something about Jen. You know, I think Jen is a really toxic person. And for someone like Heather who was in a toxic marriage for years, like, this is what Heather knows.
Yeah,
you know, so she's going to dip back into that sort of relationship because that's how she understands
love,
receiving love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dang.
Just so sad.
That was a beautiful convey of that. But yeah, it's very sad to just actually see, because you've seen the way Jen has treated you and things that she said about you. And I mean, this could go like, okay, she's very like, she's extending grace to her. She's very like kind and forgiving. But there's also, we'll get into it once they do their meetup. I was proud of her once they did their meetup. At a particular point. And so, yeah, Whitney was like, nah, I'm not really feeling this. Heather was like, I want to go into it with open arms. And just an open heart, willing to accept all of that. And so we'll see where that leads then Jen and Heather at the end of this episode.
Yes. So then we move on to Jenny. We get a solo sequence now with Jenny without any of the other housewives there. She's at home with her family. She's got three kids that are all pretty young. Mm-hmm. And her daughter is so stinking cute.
She's
cracking jokes. She is
star.
A little star. She's cracking jokes. And then her mom, like, she says, like, what did one wave say to the other wave? Nothing. They just waved at each other. One ocean say to the other ocean. And Jenny rolls her eyes and her daughter goes, I can tell how funny you think it is by your eye roll.
It was like, so funny. And did you catch the part where like Jenny was telling her daughter, hey, can you hand me the parsley? And then her daughter was like, oh, thank God it's not Bruce Lee, it's parsley. I die. It was like, she's so witty, so funny. She's like what
so
I like to
cute.
See from a child on Real Housewives. It's like that element, because children can bring about like a software, like with Jen, she really doesn't showcase her children that much this season. But I feel like to help cultivate someone, or to really be like, oh yeah, I kind of really like this person, or identify this person, I feel like it's an easy way to bring their kids in and to see them at home and see them more motherly and things like that. So if they want to do a image rebranding of Jen, they need to do more scenes with her and her kids. But yes, Jenny's family is super sweet. And I like her story, like about how like she wanted to spend all this time like with her kids. And, you know, people, I love working moms and or stay at home moms. Both are like taxing and like hard jobs to have. And just the fact that she like really like, she sold all of her companies that she had, because she opened them up when she was pregnant with her first son. Or
yeah, she owned a medical spa and she had like five or six locations. But she sold them to be a full-time mom. And, you know, I think that I love this, because my mom sort of did something similar. She was really like working her way up in the auto industry. And then when she had my younger brother, she decided to stop working and be a full-time stay-at-home mom, even though she was more of the breadwinner at the time. And, you know, there is no judgment how women want to run their life. You know, if you want to be a working mom, a stay-at-home mom, not a mom, like, I'm here for all of it. Do what makes you happy. But I think that I just like personally felt connected to Jenny because I have two brothers. You know, I'm the only girl with two brothers. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. Like, I see a lot of that family dynamic there. And I think that it's really beautiful that she, you know, wanted to devote herself to her kids in that way.
It's super cute. And Dewey, her husband, is like really wanting another kid, because and like in their culture, it's kind of, it shows your wealth as big as your family is. And so I thought that was a cool insight into just who they are and their culture. And but Jenny's like, oh hell no, I'm not getting my
shoes
tied.
That's so funny.
I'm not doing that. I'm good. You know?
So. Yeah. She was like, absolutely not. And she looked down at her hoo-ha and was like, no, not again. You know? And her daughter is old to have another child. Like, her daughter's like, looks like she must be like six-ish. Like, I would be like, okay, I'm done with babies. Like, we're done. I'm never nursing again. You know, I don't want to have to be pregnant again. Like, I'm done with newborns. Like, what we've got is good. We're going to all move into the like adolescent stage together, like that's fine. You know, I think that because they say that if you are like if there's a 7-year age gap between siblings, they feel like only children because they are not at all in the same like time of life. So if you have a sibling who's 7 years older than you or 7 years younger than you, you feel like you were raised as an only child.
I see that. I mean, I have two other siblings. My sister, she's the oldest. She's 27. My brother's 26 and I'm 24. So like all like bam, 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 bam. Is that kind of how you and your brother are?
I'm 2 years older and 2 years younger. So my mom was pregnant for like every other year 6 years.
Oh, God bless her.
Seriously. I think about that and I'm like, oh my God, how did she do it? No wonder she stopped working after Alec was born. She was like, I can't do this shit.
She's like, I'm tired. I am tired. Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, that's so funny. We love moms.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And like I said, you know, that was just my experience, which is why I feel connected to Jenny. Like any type of working mother, you know, mothers who own their own business, single moms. Like I think what's so awesome about that Housewives franchise is that you see women of like middle-aged women, like really living their life and raising families or not raising families in completely traditional, untraditional, like every single way. Yeah. And I think that it's awesome to have, even on this season, like a breadth of different family structures and styles. Mm-hmm. Like Heather is a single mom. She's divorced. Whitney has a blended family, mm-hmm. you know, with her husband. Jenny is a stay-at-home mom. Lisa is like a powerhouse working mm-hmm. mom. You know, I just think that there's a lot there that really is representative of all types of different women. So I think
I'm here
great.
For it. I'm here for mm-hmm. it. And I feel like this next scene was very comical for me, TBH.
Yeah.
And it was also very like endearing. It involved me. So we get Whitney at her house.
Her husband got bashful.
I know. Her husband name is Justin. Yes. Justin.
I don't even know. I was like, Justin. What is his name?
I know. I think it's Justin. Okay. But before that, she was like talking to her kids because she's like run down at this point. Like Whitney is running. And I really love this because like at the last season, we saw like Whitney's business. And like this season, we're only two episodes in, but we're seeing a lot more and hearing a lot more about it. And it's called mm-hmm. Wild Rose, I believe.
Yes.
And she has two kids
with Justin. And then Justin has three older children from his previous marriage.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, I like this. She's prioritizing her business. And I feel mm-hmm. like as a mom that has like two young kids and is married to, I believe Justin is like pretty like well off. I mm-hmm. feel like at times I feel like her kids kind of are very freshly out of like the incubator. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know how old they are, but
they're 11 and 8.
Okay, so they've been out for a while. But I feel like a lot of times moms can, speaking about moms, as we just talked about with Jenny, they can kind of put their priorities to the sideline to focus on their families and to really build. And it's good both ways. But I really like that she kind of is really focusing on her business and developing who she is more and more mm-hmm. and not kind of going into the stereotypical of what we see a younger woman dating an older guy who's very wealthy mm-hmm. into that stereotype of, but I'm just going to fall and be content into this. But no, she's mm-hmm. actually out there getting it. Well, and she needs help around the house too.
I think that she's also like, you know, this show is a great opportunity for these women. I think she's mm-hmm. trying to strike while the iron's hot. She's like, we're getting a second season. The first season was a hit. Might as well try and do something that I've always wanted to do. Really put my back into it. It's free PR being on this show. You know, like I might as well. And she is asking her husband something that's great. I think is like, she's asking her husband for what she wants in these mm-hmm. seasons. Like she's asking him for support with the kids and in the bedroom. Like she mm-hmm. is somebody who knows what she wants. She's comfortable enough in her relationship to feel like she can communicate with him about what she wants and needs.
Myself a safe place. She wants her back mm-hmm. cracked like a glow stick.
Apparently, man, that confessional where she's talking about robotic sex,
Maggie, I cried.
Well, first off, she said that her and her husband usually have sex every single day, which mm-hmm. they have been married for 10 years. That is a lot to have sex every single day. And then she said, now we're doing it like 2 to 3 times a week, which is not a lot for us. I still feel like that's a lot for a married couple of 10 years. I feel like that is way above average.
I mean, everybody
to each their own, like do your thing, girl, get yours.
Get yours.
Like, I feel like that just goes to show like how healthy their sex life is. Like they love each other. They're very attracted to one each other. Clearly.
She wants her back cracked and I'm here for like, as she was talking to Justin saying like, yo, I don't want to just do robotic sex. And then she simulated what robotic sex is in her confessionals, which was just, you know, jumping up and down on the penis and then, you know,
and leaning over the chair.
All fours. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like getting, you know, behind popped. And so this things like that. It was very theatrical. And I just like loved her everywhere. And her husband was receptive to it all. And she was like, I'm honestly recently, I've just been very horny. And he was like, well, there's a simple fix to that. And I'm just like, get yours in, Justin. Pipe her down. It was cute.
It was cute. I liked that he was, you know, super into it and was like, but also it was cute how he was like getting red when she was like, she like got on top of him and was like, come on, I want to have sex more. Like, please.
Come on, Daddy. I'm pissed, Daddy.
She was like, I would love it if you woke up and like grabbed my boobs. And he got so red. I know he was like, oh my God, my sons are going to see this. This is going to be on national television.
My sons are going to see this and they've been probably thinking they want to do this to my wife. And so it's like weird.
Stop, Jacob. No.
But what's her son?
Moving on.
24, 29, 24 and whatever. So, hey, but yeah.
I love it. So we get to our final sequence.
Yes.
Of the episode, which is Jen and Heather, and they're meeting at this ice castle, which the ice castle is gorgeous. Beautiful. It's freaking stunning. Like, if you are going to be doing a Real Housewives in Salt Lake City, this is the reason that you do it for these types of views, like, or this type of setting. It's so beautiful. It's like, looks like it's chiseled. Like, it's clearly like a touristy attraction. Yeah. But oh my God, it's so gorgeous. And you know, there's of course really funny sequence of Jen, like with Stuart, her, you know, partner in crime, literally.
Yeah. Oh, partner literally. In crime, literally.
And allegedly.
Allegedly.
And, you know, he's like going, she's like trying to get him to go into this one area and he slips and falls. And then Heather gets there and Jen like rides in on a sled and is like giggling. And you can tell that Heather is like, ha ha.
Yeah.
Like, are we going to talk? Like,
let's
Heather's
get into
not,
some things. Yeah.
Yeah, she's not like here for all Jen's like jokes, like trying to be, because I feel like that's Jen's MO. Like, she really, really F's up. And then the next time she sees everybody, she acts like nothing happened.
Yes. And I feel like with the parties, like, and Heather touched on this in her confessionals, like she does really big things to make it be like, oh, okay. Like, she's really trying. Like, she's done all these things. She found like this location. You know what I mean? When Heather saw the fireplace and the two chests, she was like, oh my God, this is why I love you. Like, she does that type of thing. And it probably is who she is, but it also plays a part in her working of relationships with her friends after she's done them wrong. And so it's kind of frustrating to watch a little bit, but
of course. And so they sit down, they have like, they're inside basically a huge like ice house and they have this gorgeous fireplace and these seats and they're talking and Heather says in her confessional, you know, I don't want to just give in to Jen this easily. Like, I want her to actually have to answer to some of the stuff that she's done to me. So they start talking and Heather asks why Jen is calling her. I wrote down all of these things. A manipulator, a racist, a liar, calling her a manatee and honey boo boo. Oh, and Jen literally is like,
That's not me, no.
She has nothing to say. No. Like, she's just like victimizing herself. She says that Heather just believes the worst all the time. And Heather pulls out the screenshots.
She pulls out the receipts. With the verified check and Jen's, like, when you have receipts, that person Jen should have got her bag and was like, you know what? I see what I did. I'm out. I'm sorry, girl. I'm sorry.
Enjoy the fire. Have a great time. This camera crew will keep you company. You know what
I mean? Yeah, but I need to leave, Chad, because if you pulling out receipts on my ass, I'm done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She pulled up the receipts of Jen calling her X, Y, and Z.
I think that, and I'm assuming like it's from a fan, like a fan got Jen to say that and sent it to Heather. But like she, yeah. So she's like, look, how am I supposed to, of course I'm going to think the worst if I have the proof. And Jen just immediately starts crying. Mm-hmm. But Jen also says she feels like she's held to a different standard because she is brown. Mm-hmm. And then we get a confessional of Heather saying that she doesn't think Jen is treated differently because she's brown. She thinks that she's treated differently because of her temper. Mm-hmm. And in fact, she's treated better because of her temper because they all walk on eggshells.
They're scared.
And I would love to get your take on this because, you know, I feel like this is one I have to sit out.
So... I think there is validity in what Jen said. As like a as a person of color being on a show where the people of color are the minority. I mean, we also are in Salt Lake City. So you find them a very rare breed. And I know last season when they called Jen like aggressive and like just like use synonyms that characterize those things. I felt for Jen because I can already probably know growing up in like this type of environment and being the type of skin tone you are, how you are already labeled, how people already expect you to act and how the synonyms that you get just as growing up. But I do not think it helps your case when you say, oh, I'm gonna slap that bitch. Or I'm like, just like saying, cause I know she said that about Heather, or, you know, when you get mad and we saw in the scene last season, you're like swatting at one of their hands or you're getting in their faces and pointing and like cussing and pointing or throwing a glass. It's like those things that you feel are true and they are valid and your feelings are valid in that experience. But I can't call it. I don't think she is just in this group with these people, the actions that I've seen that they have portrayed. I don't see her being just at a different standard based off of the color of her skin. I do think she's being like judged off of like how she reacts and what she does to people and what she says to people. Because I like Meredith has a very valid reason to be pissed at her. Mary, they had a very, I mean, Mary's black, so I'll take Mary out. Who else is it? Heather has a very valid reason. I don't think if Mary said those things about Heather, I feel like they would have got to say, that probably wasn't the best reaction. They're both people of color. But say if Lisa said the same things, her and Lisa had a falling out because Lisa said, oh, she was a party girl. And Heather, you got in Heather's face. Y'all got into like a verbal altercation. Like, I don't think the action that I've seen, I don't feel like those have been indicative of, oh, she's being treated because of X, Y, and Z. But I'm also not going to say that that's completely not true, but just based off the things that I've seen and based off of the things that Jen has done that I've seen her do on this show, it kind of like collides at a point and being
I wonder if it, you know, compounds her feeling like she's the one who always has to apologize. You know, that's like the thing that she kept saying. Like, I'm wondering if that is like part of why she feels like she's held to a different standard. Like she always has to apologize and she's the one woman of color, you know, who has to keep apologizing, who's on that Vegas trip, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of like, oh, I have to keep apologizing, but let me stop what I'm doing that I'm having to apologize for. So I will have to stop apologizing in totality, because I believe if she did apologize once and she stopped those actions, it would have been done. At the reunion, I feel like she gave a beautiful like apology and it was, I feel like it was very heartfelt. But then, for, you know, with Meredith and just apologizing to everyone, but you can't be up there calling your bestie Shrek and, you know, X, Y, and Z and a racist. And you can't be liking tweets about Meredith's son and expect those people to have a softened approach to you or have those people just like be like, okay, like, I forgive you. Just come back. You know what I mean? Like, and Jen has also said she's been working through some things. Her and Shireen, what's her husband's name?
Sharif.
Her and Sharif, they had like a falling out. And she said it was because of her behavior and how she has been throughout. You know what I mean? So her feelings, I feel like, are valid. I feel like those things that she probably experienced as a child and as a person growing up in the town has stuck with her to this day. And so I don't think it's anything foreign for those thoughts to still be in this. But I just don't feel as though those girls, from what I've seen, giving her reason to put that out there on them or call them racist or just have. But I do think, you know, environmentally, culturally, there's different things. But I feel like these women have been I feel like they have tried. I mean, and Heather, I feel like Heather really wants a friendship with Jen, you know? And so damned if you don't, I don't think Jen is helping like anything, just how Jen is being just like, you know, Jen is Jen.
Yeah.
And and so I think those things that you experience in life growing up as a person of color, they stick with you. But just in this scene with this group of women, I haven't seen that being as prominent. But, you know, she's herself and she feels those feelings and those feelings are true. But I just haven't seen them. So.
Well, thank you, one, for sharing that really nuanced like insight. I really appreciate it. And I think it contextualizes it a little bit, you know, for somebody like me watching who is, you know, trying to make sense of all of it. I think that's a really good, and I hate that this is where we end the episode on. Like, this is the note that we end the episode on. Yeah. But we can transition into tea time if tea you'd time. Like.
I wish we had a soundbite. We just slurped tea, guys. With tea time, so we have gotten an epic statement that ended with an exclamation point and a period. So Meredith Marks was on Watch What Happens Live right after the show. That's typical of the Real Housewives. After they get, you know, their show premieres, they go on Watch What Happens Live and do an interview with Andy. Callers call in, etc. So the question that Andy posed to Meredith was, and in the previews, you will kind of be hinted at Meredith. Oh, did Meredith call the feds on Jen? Like, that's like the looming question on the trailer and going into the season.
And we talked about this a little bit last week. Uh-huh. Like, we thought that was bullshit. Like, no, she didn't. Come on. Like, of course it's going to be fun to be able to talk about and like all the drama from it. But like, of course she didn't. Like, that's not true.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So Andy posed the question of, how do you feel about fans thinking that you're the one to call the feds on Jen? And Meredith's response was, I mean, Andy, haven't you heard that I've been telling these people to not talk about my family? And but she was very stoic, very
deadpan,
like, very
so much so deadpan. And like, she took a moment before she responded and then said it so deadpan. And even Andy was like,
and Brooks was at the bar. Brooks was at the bar. They were like, and after that scene, because I was watching the live, and it, and like Andy was like, "Oh, Brooks is even shocked." And he was like, "But okay, but honestly, I'm still not convinced that she did."
No, I think that she's
playing into it.
Oh yeah, she's being an amazing housewife. Literally, come on, like she knows what the hell she's doing. And you know, after that, Andy was like, hell yes, perfect. Meredith. Perfect. Like, yes, you nailed it.
Eddie knows everything that happened, and they're probably going to really get into it at the reunion. But yeah, I still don't think that she's the one to like, oh, but it is like very weird that she wasn't on the bus when Jen got taken and she given this response. And so it's very like weird, but I still am like, I just don't think she called the feds on Jen. If she did, would I hate her? I just think it's for my enjoyment at this point. It's like, you did like the Lord's work in providing storylines for this entire cast after the midseason. So we're in for something amazing.
Oh, yes, we are. She is engaged. Let me tell you, that was not disengaging.
She is not disengaging this season. Mm-hmm. She is engaged. It's so beautiful.
I also think we should talk about Heather's interview last week on What Would Happen Live. Because people were tweeting us like, why would Heather say this about Jen? Like, she said that Andy was like, how shocked were you when you found out that Jen was indicted? And she was like, you know, I had been asking Jen what she did for work, and I had thought it was shady because I run a business. I know how hard it is to run a business, and I know how hard it is to make money when you run a business. And I just, things weren't adding up to me. Like, how did she have this excess of cash? But I was like, whatever, like, I'll take the clothes. I'll take it. Yeah. I'm sort of paraphrasing here. This is like what she said, right?
This is basically what she said. Yeah.
So people did not love that at all.
I loved it.
Well, yeah, but people were like, how can we be rooting for Heather if she knew that Jen was up to some shady stuff and was still accepting the handbags and the dresses?
I mean, but Jenna was saying that, like, she thought, like, she didn't think it crossed the line of being illegal. She knew it was unsavory, or she felt as though it was unsavory, but she was like, like, unsavory being like, I don't know how this is going on. It may be shady, but I don't think it's illegal. I don't think my friend would be doing something illegal.
Yeah.
Or so maybe I think that's the place, like, that she was coming from.
Oh, there's, like, credit card debt, you know, like, sure that they're like, oh, she's not making this money and she's putting it on a show. She must be, like, deep in debt. You know, like, there could be, like, because obviously you're not going to jump to, like, my best friend is a felon, you know, like, that's not where you're going to go. But
people were also like, oh, Heather just shouldn't have said anything. I was like, yo, this is for the time that she got called a racist. She got called Shrek. She got called Honey Boo Boo. She got called a manatee. This is like, she was like, let me give my friend some support, but also let me bury that. Let me bury that girl real quick too. It was giving very much, oh, you're still my homegirl, but let me talk my shit because you've been liking, retweeting, posting all that stuff about me. And I got this one chance to really stick it to you in a very subtle, shady way. And I'm going to stick it to you, baby. So it was amazing.
Wow, this has been such a fun episode, Jacob. I was really sort of like, you know, the episode wasn't giving what the premiere gave. So I was like, I hope that we have enough to talk about. But I feel like we really were able to dig in and really go for it and talk about all of these ladies. It was such a great time. Always a great time talking with you.
And thank you for everyone that, like, interact with us on Twitter about, like, the podcast.
So fun.
We feel, like, so loved. And, like, it's, like, amazing to seeing, like, people actually listen to, like, care about, like, our takes or our opinions. It's super dope.
Absolutely. And also, like, honestly, coming off of Big Brother season, don't tell any of the Big Brother podcast listeners that I said this, but, like, sometimes people on Twitter are not very nice to you when you podcast about Big Brother. So, like, to hear that you guys are enjoying it, that you think we're funny and that you're entertained, like, it's so awesome. Like, please send us your thoughts, your clips, everything. Like, I am loving it. I'm loving interacting. I know Jacob is too. Like, I'm leaving my Twitter off of private. She's open.
She's engaged.
ML Morgan. I am engaging. I am not disengaging. I will engage for you guys.
That's awesome.
So much fun.
Yeah, I had a blast.
Hey, okay. Me too. So, Jacob, where can people find you if they want more?
People can find me on Twitter or Instagram or really any social media at JacobJ_Jones. Big Brother's about to end, so I'm not doing really any more Big Brother coverage. Well, we're on Wednesday. Me and you. Mm-hmm. Did you know it's going to be me and you?
Yes, me, you, and Taryn.
Yeah, man, that'll be exciting.
Fun times.
And I'm doing a wrap up the challenge on Thursday. So if you are interested, if you watch the challenge, check that out. But yeah, at JacobJ_Jones. Maggie, what about you?
Awesome. Yes. And you can find me on Twitter, where I will be engaging at _ ML Morgan, and on Instagram at ML Morgan _. That's where I am. That's what I'm up to. I'm also podcasting with Jacob on Wednesday. We're recapping the veto episode. And I actually have to talk to you after this, Jacob. We might be booked for another podcast this weekend. So be on the lookout. We've been propositioned. but it was so awesome talking with you. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.